Love, 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 love. The Greeks had at least four words for love. Agape. This was the great and generous kind that we would describe as charity, and could refer to any holy kind of love, such as parents for their children, or the love of worshippers for their God. The King James Bible renders the conclusion of the 13th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, written in Greek, of course, as, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." In modern translations, charity is rendered simply as love. Philia applied to friendship, partiality, and fondness. We see its traces in words like francophile, necrophilia, and philanthropy. Storge, the love and loyalty someone might have for their country or their sports team, could be regarded as storgic. Eros, the strain of love named after the god or after whom the god is named, the kind that gets us into most trouble, so much more than affectionate, so much less than spiritual. Eros and the erotic can lead us to glory and to disgrace, to the highest pitch of happiness and the deepest pit of despair. Eros himself, while later portrayed by Renaissance and Baroque artists in the manner I have described, a giggling, pert and dimpled cherub, sometimes wearing a blindfold to signify the wayward and arbitrary nature of his marksmanship, was, to the Greeks, a fully grown young man of great accomplishment, an artist, an athlete, both sexual and sporting. He was regarded as a patron and protector of gay male love, as well as a presiding presence in the gymnasium and on the running track. He was associated with dolphins, cockerels, roses, torches, lyres, and, of course, that bow and quiverful of arrows. The story of Eros and Psyche, physical love and soul, seems almost absurdly ripe for interpretation and explanation. I think, however, that it is best told, like all myths, not as an allegory, symbolic fable or metaphor, but as a story. Just a story. It has many of the rhythms and plot turns we associate with later quest narratives and fairy tales. You might notice strong resemblances to Beauty and the Beast and Cinderella, for instance. Perhaps because it comes down to us from what many regard as the strongest candidate for first ever novel, The Golden Ass, by the Roman writer Apuleius. Apuleius, who flourished in the 2nd century AD, was from North Africa but wrote in Latin, and so used the names Cupid interchangeably with Amor for Eros, Venus for Aphrodite, and Anima for Psyche. A translation that conveys the word's sense not just of soul, but of breath of life, that which animates. If you were to translate Apuleius literally, you would get a very allegorical tale indeed. Love said to soul, "You must not look at me," soul fled from love, etc.